Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join us today and participate in a very important community planning process. My name is Claudia Harris, Director of Strategic Initiatives Aging Services with Orange County Office on Aging, and I will be leading us through today's public hearing and presentation. I do want to go over a few housekeeping rules before we get started with our presentation. Please, if you haven't done so already, please sign in at the back of the room. We have the table for your sign-in sheet. Please include your name and the organization, if it's applicable to you, that you represent. Additionally, we have copies of the Area Plan Update draft document for your viewing. Please do not remove that from this room. However, a downloadable version, PDF, is available on Office on Aging website, in which we'll go over those details as well. If you would like to speak today to provide public comment, we also have at the back of the room, next to your sign-in sheet, you will see the public speaker request form. You will complete that information. If you're able to provide your name and organization you represent, will be helpful for accuracy and transparency and for record keeping. It is voluntary, so if you are not comfortable filling that out, you do not have to, but it does help us to report out our part of our requirements. If you would like to speak, you will have 3 minutes to do so and provide that during our public comment session. If you prefer that your public comment just be read and you would not like to speak, that is also available to you. There is a small checkbox on the speaker request form that says read only, in which then your comment will be read. And additionally, you will have an opportunity, as well as members of the public, to continue to submit public comment for these area plan update fiscal year 26-27 via email, and we will go over those details as well as part of the presentation. And without further ado, I would like to ask if you can please silence your cell phones or your mobile devices if in an event you must take a phone call. If I might ask that you please step out of the room and feel free to take your call and join us back. Now, with that said, we will start our presentation today. We will be opening our public hearing. The Office on Aging, per California Code of Regulation 22, Section 7308, it does require that the local area agencies on aging provide a public hearing to present the upcoming updates of our area plan. Currently, we are in a four-year area plan cycle that began in 2024 through 2028. And at the end of our presentation, then you will have the opportunity for public comments. Again, if you would like to provide public comment, please fill out the form and provide that to our staff member here joining us today, Ms. Imelda. What is the area plan? Why is it that we do this? I've shared that per our California Code of Regulation, we are required to provide annual updates to the four-year cycle. The Area Agency on Aging must develop and submit an area plan to the California Department of Aging, and that is approved every 4 years. It outlines our Office on Aging's goals, our service delivery, and it aligns with the priorities of the Older Americans Act and the needs of our local older adult population and communities. In addition, while we are hosting our public hearing today, we do have responsibilities per this regulation, as mentioned, to provide annual area plan updates. So today we're going to focus on the second annual update of the 2024-2028 area plan cycle. This update is due to California Department on Aging on May 1st, or on or before May 1st. Part of the annual updates and what we must on an annual basis update is the Orange County's population. So in your slide in front of you, also have copies of the power slide deck for your convenience. We have to update our population per some of our data sources that includes our Census Bureau, California's Department of Finance and Housing, We do provide this update to reflect that currently, as of 2024, our data tells us that our Orange County population is a total of 3.17 million. So just a little bit over 3.1 million of Orange County adults and residents. But of that, our data tells us that of the 60 and older population, we have a little bit over 756,000. And of that age bracket, our 65 and older population is at a little over 550,000. The ethnic background and breakdown that we're going to present to you today represents the actual 550,000 of 65 and older. Currently, our Census Bureau data does not provide for the ethnic breakdown of the 60 and older. So for this update, we're providing you the 65 and older bracket. Of that, primarily here in Orange County, our ethnic backgrounds, whites are at 55.7%, followed by our Asian population at 24.5%, our Hispanic Latino population at 17.7%, Black African American at 1.4%, American Indian Alaskan Native at 0.8%, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander at 0.2%, and those that identify as two or more races at 10%. Additionally, of this population, approximately 28% of our older adults experience economic insecurities and do not have, and what that means is just they do not have adequate income to meet their basic needs. Part of the development of our current area plan cycle, which is again the 2024 through 2028, is an older adults needs assessment. It is an assessment to gauge, to assess what are the needs of our local population, specifically our older adult population. For the current area plan, there were two data sources with additional census data that were utilized to develop our area plan. The beginning of the development of the goals, service needs, service deliveries included the community assessment survey for older adults. You do not see that in the current slide because that was just used to initiate and give us a base information as we were waiting for the Orange County's older adults needs assessment report to publish. So during the initial development, the small survey that was commissioned by the California Department of Aging was utilized to initiate the development of our plan, but we incorporated the results within the survey finding of our local Orange County's older adults needs assessment report. Of that report, we have a little bit over 7,500, exactly 7,522 total respondents that participated in the local Orange County Older Adults Needs Assessment. Of that, it was comprised of three different surveys. It included our older adults, which started at age 55 plus to capture their needs, their thoughts on aging services in our county, and what was important to them. We also had a second survey for the caregivers, and these are family unpaid family caregivers and receiving their input. And lastly, the paid provider survey. Through the results of this survey, one of the things that we'd like to highlight that came and learned from that is what are the top issues and concerns for our aging population in Orange County was related to the health. Their top issues was concerning Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and emotional well-being. They've also shared that the most and top two demands for services was transportation and in-home care, which aids and helps to support their aging in place. One of their higher concerns shared through the survey results was economic insecurity. In this survey, we were informed that the financial stress that is caused by some financial insecurity matters and issues are linked and are related to their behavioral and medical well-being and some of those challenges that come with that. And then lastly, highlighting the accessibility and what were some of those factors and barriers that prevent someone from accessing services. And our community, our older adult community, tells us that the lack of just information, not knowing where to start, related to medical, it was inconvenient appointment times, and of course, related to financial insecurities, it was the high cost of copays. So some of these barriers here are some of the reasons that rose to the top on why our older adults have difficulties or do not seek services in their communities. And really these findings, they underscore the ongoing need for our, you know, improved outreach, our education, our community strategies to ensure that our older adults have access to the needs, to the information, and not just our older adults, but including their caregivers and their support system. For a copy of the full report on the older adults needs assessment utilized for the area plan, the copy is available on Office on Aging's website at officeonaging.ocgov.com. Also, Lee provided a copy of your slide deck. So this brings us to the next section, and when we're talking about our priority services and our service unit plan. If you've had the opportunity to download and read through the area plan draft report, the bulk of the report is your service unit plan. The priority of services, it is required that the local AAAs, in which Orange County Office on Aging is your local area agency on aging in Orange County, that we allocate an adequate proportion of federal funds to provide your Title III-B, which are the supportive services categories, in which includes access, in-home services, and legal assistance. Access includes all your information and assistance, transportation, your case management service categories, health, education information, and public information. The second service priority is in-home services, in which includes areas such as personal care, your homemaker, chore, adult daycare, adult day health care, Alzheimer's daycare services, and residential repairs, minor modifications. And in the legal assistance service priority, it includes the legal advice and representation and assistance from the Ombudsman program and the involvement in the private bar. Part of the priority services and how the local AAAs, in this case, Office on Aging, we set the minimum adequate proportions for our service priorities, which then leads to the development and assessment of the service unit plan. And the service unit plan in your draft copies, you'll see it's a strategic framework that is used to define and measure and manage the delivery of all the services within your Title III-B, including some, we'll talk about that later on in this presentation, that are non-area plan funded, however, part of this area plan update requirements. This service plan, it uses the Older Americans Act performance system defined by the state program report. These are annual reports that are provided to us as information provided through the California Department on Aging, in which it helps to provide additional analysis of our service trends, funding capabilities, and any shifts in capacities, local resources in our communities. The service units reported are all funded by the Older Americans Act, therefore included in the area plan as funding sources, which includes your federal, right, Americans, Older Americans Act, a portion of your state, which is the Older Californians Act. And then, of course, it includes other state funding that is a part of some of our area plan services required to report. Now, the service plan and the funding, of course, is included administratively. Office on Aging is required to include all of these services and these plans on our annual budget submitted to the California Department of Aging and part of our area plan budget. Those normally are determined and adjusted as we go through the fiscal year. So for 26-27, once we have those allocations submitted to us by California Department of Aging, it will conclude or at least give us a good picture of do we need any adjustments in any of those services, which then leads me to the service plan. So for 26-27, our service unit plan includes some of our service areas in which you've seen and want to point out that some have seen based on these trends, service deliveries, service capacities, funding levels and shiftings. We see some areas here that have increased from the start of this current area plan cycle that started in July 1st of 2024. So you've noticed that following services such as senior center activities, cash material aid, residential modifications, public information, and a few categories under long-term care ombudsman program, specifically for the long-term care ombudsman under the work with resident councils, work with family councils, and information and assistance for facility staff. Elder abuse prevention as well for their individuals served and public education. These particular service areas have seen some increase, and that is based on the assessment of our service capacities, funding capacities, and any shifting of needs and demands for the services from our local communities and residents accessing these services. I do want to highlight that the elder abuse prevention under individual serve specifically, you will see probably a significant increase in service units from last year to going into 26-27. Individual serve, our target goal is a little over 39,000. And that is due to some guidance and clarification received from California Department on Aging on what is included and count, who is counted as individual served and the modalities in which we count them. So it includes the email like distribution and any form of outreach provided to educate individuals on elder abuse prevention services. So that number, based on that clarification, has seen a much more significant increase when you compare to our other service areas. And in our current slide, some of these services here continue to show a growing, quite steady growth in demand, as mentioned earlier. Caregiving services kind of has a slide of its own because there's quite a lot of services under caregiving services. And these areas here under case management, caregiver support trainings, caregiver information services, support groups, counseling sessions, in-home respite, so that is in-home caregiver respite, out-of-home caregiver respite, other forms of support to the caregiver, and including the supplemental services under consumable supplies, assistive technologies occurrences, and caregiver assessments. So quite a bulk of these service categories under caregiver services have seen a steady increase during this cycle. And then in the current slide in front of you, some of these service areas reflect a shift in the need. So there is some slight reductions of services or at least target goals going into 26-27 fiscal year. We're seeing a reduction under adult daycare services, in-home services, which include the personal care, homemaker, and chore, a small reduction under information and assistance contacts, outreach contacts, community education activities, home delivered meals, and long-term care ombudsman. And under the ombudsman program, specifically in the areas of information and assistance for individuals and community education. And I'd like to highlight that, you know, when we see and we think about, oh, why are these reductions and what is the cause? It is a evaluation of the service demands and the trends over this past cycle, funding restrictions and or shifts and including service capacities for our community service providers. So taking all that into consideration, we see some of these minor or small shift in reductions. But I would like to highlight that taking, you know, considering some of these, we want to shift the information that as we go through the fiscal year 26-27, we do receive augmentations in our funding. And when these augmentations or increase fundings to these particular services, specifically under Title 3B supportive services happen, then we have an opportunity to come back to reassess, to increase and shift these goals. So although presented in front of you, you'll see some minor decreases, it does not mean that through the year, these service trends might increase and our service providers' capacities also increase through the year. But we'll be able to tell and see that when we conduct next year of 27-28 updates, which is the last cycle. However, for today's public hearing, we display to you what we're going in until we have opportunities to further assess and make revisions to our service units. And the next set of service units have, in this current cycle, seen a pretty steady and consistent service demand, and that includes case management, transportation services, legal assistance, congregate meals, nutrition education, disaster preparedness materials, elder abuse prevention, and under elder abuse, we have some subcategories. That's training for professionals, training sessions for caregivers served by our Title 3E, and that is the Family Caregiver Support Program. Hours spent on developing and coordinating a system of elder abuse prevention and awareness, and the total number of copies of educational materials, including our caregivers, specifically the information and assistant services under caregiver services and supplemental services that include coordination with legal and legal services specific to caregiver support. So these areas here during our cycle, our area plan cycle, have been pretty consistent and pretty steady, so not much change in this area. And again, just like any of the other service categories, these will be further assessed as we go into fiscal year 26-27 and receive any changes in funding levels. During our part of our annual updates, as required by the federal regulations, and we submit to California Department of Aging, include highlighting our accomplishments. These accomplishments are guided by the goals established in the current area plan of 2024-2028 and ongoing goals. Some of our goals will be, you know, completed, some are ongoing, and some one goal in particular will be new that is in the draft document. But for today's public hearing, we want to highlight some of our accomplishments that we've accomplished during the current cycle from 2024, fiscal year 2024 through the current fiscal year 25-26. In the goal, guided by these four goals in our area plan, goal one includes information, inform and to educate. And in fiscal year 24-25, our Older Adults Advisory Commission conducted monthly senior center visits as a goal to increase awareness, increase outreach, and information at your local senior centers. In fiscal year, the current 25-26, we've increased participation in the Orange County Disabilities and Access Functional Needs Working Group. That is a mouthful. But this is a work group that is led by the county's Sheriff's Department, the Emergency Services Division, in which staff that attend these ongoing work groups have opportunity to gain insights, resources, and provide feedback to the Emergency Service Division on emergency disaster and anything related to disaster preparedness for our older adults. And this key accomplishment is just the constant, more consistent involvement and participation and advocacy and connecting to disaster preparedness resources. On our goal number two, which is service delivery and partnerships, For fiscal year 25-26, our service provider has conducted 160 caregiver support group sessions, exceeding the targeted goal of 120 sessions. So that is a definitely highlight that as we near the end of fiscal year 25-26, we expect that those sessions will continue to increase, but wanted to highlight that as a key accomplishment for our caregiver support group sessions. Goal number three speaks to enhanced service quality. And in fiscal year 24-25, Office on Aging and its staff provided ongoing training and technical assistance to contracted service providers and our partners in the communities to improve the quality and data management efforts. And why this is like, oh, why is this a key accomplishment? Because this is extremely important on the accuracy of our service unit report, accuracy of data that we report to the state as required by the federal guidelines. The data really assists because that helps the state to also utilize performances at the local levels and compile all of the performances to better support any level of advocacy when it comes to funding and ensuring that funding comes down to our local levels or to the local levels of the area agencies on aging. And then lastly, one of a fairly newer goal in our current area plan cycle is our goal four, which is the master plan for aging and really highlighting what the local communities are doing in regards to the California's call for a California master plan for aging, but how does that translate at the local level? So from the start of this cycle, from fiscal year 24-25 through current, the Orange County Office on Aging has supported the development and supported the release of the OC CARES master plan for aging and continues to support the implementations of its three priority initiatives. The three priority initiatives include housing security, public information and resource campaign, and enhanced care coordination. The implementation of the Master Plan for Aging priorities in this current fiscal year 25-26 is currently being led by the county's executive office. However, the county executive office has designated plan leaders to help in each respective priority initiative and help achieve the tasks filled out for each of the action items. So the teams are composed of several county departments, stakeholder involvement, and of course our Office on Aging to help support the local initiatives. I'm gonna take a quick little pause here. Before we open the floor for our public comments and questions, I just want to do a quick little reminder that if you prefer to provide verbal public comment and or ask a question, please fill out the speaker request form. But if you prefer to have it read, please just use the checkbox that you will be providing written only, in which the comment will be read just for record keeping and transparency as we update our area plan report to CDA. So if you haven't already done so, please complete your public comment request form. While we provide those present here today the opportunity to complete a public speaker's request form, I want to remind that the written public comment will remain open until April 17 at 5 p.m., in which individuals of the public and anyone else, or if you have additional comments to provide, you can submit those written comments via email at areaagencyonaging@occr.ocgov.com. And that will also be provided in, on the slide deck copies and online for information. So we're gonna take just a very quick little pause to allow those that will like to provide public comment to submit their forms, and we'll initiate at this time the public comment section. Do we have any public comment requests? We have received one public comment request form for Ms. Rachel Owens. Ms. Rachel, you may have the floor and we will have 3 minutes for you to provide public comment and or ask questions. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So during the presentation here, I had difficulty understanding the presentation to the written document. Is there a way to reference where the specific numbers come from in the document as opposed to here?
Thank you for that comment. We'll take that back. Any other?
Can I keep going?
Yeah, you have 3 minutes.
So that was one of my concerns. The other piece that I have is, again, I don't exactly understand where the breakdown is between reporting on the budget and comparing it to what the area plan is. So without numbers to look at, I'm not able to identify, well, we were gonna, our budget for the 4 year cycle was ABC XYZ. We spent this and this year, this and that year. Here's what we intend to budget for year number three, and here's what we would budget for year number four. So again, just a disconnect for me as to where those numbers are gonna come from. And I also don't understand the reference to meet growing needs as opposed to better reflect current needs. So that, again, I'm not sure, are we adjusting up or down in these areas, or what's the percent of increase, or how is that being handled into the future? Okay, I've met my 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you for your comment and your questions, and I am able to report in specific to the question on the budget and how do you compare and what do you look at and why you notice in the area plan document that there is no budget specific information. The area plan report template guidance requirements, including what information needs to be displayed and reported on for public awareness and planning purposes, the budget is not part of that document. So therefore you will not see it on there. And as mentioned earlier, a portion of that is the budget does get adjusted through the fiscal year through augmentations, changing shifts, or any opportunity where the budget is increased due to shifting budgetary constraints both at the federal and the state. So that is something that is a continuous work as that relates to how the service units are developed. So budget, it is not included as part of the area plan requirements. The service unit and the service plan is the document and the framework that takes all that information, service deliveries, budget shifts, constraints, any increase, decrease that we might experience or see throughout the year, and of course the demands of the local community and service capacities in which drives those service units, numbers and the goals, those targets to reach. And thank you for the rest of the comments. We'll definitely take that back and report and make a note of those, the feedback we've provided. And we have a speaker request for David Tesla. Mr. Tesla, please, you have 3 minutes.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple thoughts, highlights that I think could be key is on the population portion, that there is to be a grant or emphasis that the 65 or the 60, 65 population in Orange County is the only population that is increasing or is expected to increase. And I think there are graphs that are available that emphasize that fact that the 65 or 60, I'm not sure what it is the only population that's increased. I think that could play a lot of weight in regards to the needs that are required. Then the last comment I have is on the key accomplishments where you talked about the fiscal year, is there is a footnote explaining what the fiscal year is, if it's from January, if it's from July, or is it from October, federal fiscal year is, just so people know what the fiscal year is. Is it July 1st?
July 1st, yes, through June 30th.
And that's my only comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other speaker request form? Seeing none, we're going to conclude the public comment section of today's public hearing. And again, as a reminder, the public comment will remain open until April 17th at 5 p.m. and can be submitted to the Office on Aging Area Agency's inbox at areaagencyonaging@occr.ocgov.com. The area plan update final draft and audio recording will be available on the Office on Aging's website. Will probably be nearing on or before May 1st when we finalize the report that is submitted to the California Department on Aging. And if you would like to request a copy of today's presentation, you may do so by emailing the Area Agency on Aging at occr.ocgov.com. Also, would like to encourage you to stay connected with the Office on Aging, where not only will you receive information and the status, copies of today's presentation, audio recording on our Office on Aging, but also follow us for additional information and resource. Contact our Office on Aging's call center, our information and assistance at the number located 714-480-6450. Follow us on social media at Facebook and Instagram. Feel free to email us any additional questions or comments, or if you are seeking services for your loved ones or yourselves at areaagencyonaging@occr.ocgov.com. And of course, if you follow the QR link, a copy of that will be on the slide deck on the website and will also lead you to the newsletter. Office on Aging releases monthly newsletters in which we'll stay connected with resources in the community, events, news, and any information that is definitely fruitful for our older adults communities, for our Orange County residents. And with that, I want to thank you so much for taking the time joining us and being here and participating, and for your public comment submissions. Thank you. Have a lovely day.